probably a bad idea to record the day after an AIW show. Everybody looks so wonderful and ready to be here, even though it's 8 o'clock at night the next night. Wrestling show hangover is real, folks.
You try working an 8 hour shift and then trying to watch a 3.5 hour show like immediately that you're ready for this shit.
I don't know what you're talking about. I took a nap. I feel wonderful.
Yeah, no. Let's just say I took my body to the limit and I found my limits. I was reminded that those exist.
Marcy did have pancakes this morning, though. I did see there was IHOP had. What kind of pancakes did you have?
I had my boy Shadow's pancakes.
Nice.
Damn, double chocolate chips.
Jesus. No wonder why you're so fucking bushy-tailed, running on all that sugar.
Hey, the IHOP Logan and I went to in State College on our way to Philadelphia had, though. I was shocked that he didn't get them. But
hey, spoiler alert. They're just regular menu items, but they're rebranded to be Sonic, and it's listed right on the menu there.
Look, I got my picture with my boy Shadow. That's all that matters.
I'm surprised you didn't steal the little thing and take it with you.
I thought about it.
Did you?
I thought about it so hard.
I mean, your slogan is be gay, do crime, so that would be right up your alley.
I was too tired to do crime, though.
So you can only do crime when you're, like, not tired?
Well, yeah, because then you're going to fuck up if you do it while you're tired, obviously. Have you never done a crime before?
I've done a few crimes, but...
Tell the podcast all the crimes you've done.
No. Only the ones that have met the statute of limitation. Like, is there anything you took a busted for? Don't mention those.
Yeah, I can't mention any of the bodies, the murders.
I know where they're hidden. Give me a call. I'm joking. I'm fucking joking.
So, you know, we've been talking about, like, kind of in the background, the IWGI title match coming up. But this is finally the week of, and it's happening. Everything's set. We can officially announce all four competitors have been announced. So we have Derek Dillinger, the Neon Tarantino. We have the Blonde Blur, Mikey Montgomery. We have Sid Von England, who has like 19 nicknames that I hopefully they don't have to read off at the show. And we have the Rad Trash Dad, Ryan Zane. So that's going to be cool. Four-way eliminator for the belt. I don't like matches, four-way matches and three-way matches that aren't elimination. I think elimination should be the standard there so that there is a true victor. Everybody needs to be pinned to the lose. So,
yep, and I agree, especially for title matching, I agree with that. Like, I can kind of get it for like a number one contender or come shit, but
yeah,
title going to line, a championship need to get beat.
Yeah. So that's where we're at with that. That is going to be this Friday. So like 48-ish hours away, 8 o'clock at 880 Wrestling in New Kensington, PA. If you can't be there live, it will be live on YouTube, indiewrestling.us. And I'm sure we'll be sharing the link continuously throughout the next 48 hours so that you can watch it live. And give us your thoughts, and then we're gonna have obviously access to it afterwards. It'll go up on the Patreon, and I'm sure we'll have a YouTube of it and up on our YouTube, and we'll post links to it there of any IWGI title matches that happen wherever they happen. We haven't even had the crowning match yet, and I've already been in contact with several promoters from around the country and outside of the country for this title. So I'm very, very excited about that. This is going to be really huge. And it's hopefully going to lead to some really big things for the podcast. So
it'll be very exciting. And it all starts in humble old New Kensington.
Yes. So without further ado, it's IW Guide. And I am the John Thorne of this podcast.
I am the Nick Patrick of the podcast, Jayhawk.
Who am I? I don't know who am I. Who am I? Help me, someone, please. I'm blanking. Bad time. I'm having residual from yesterday on the podcast now.
Look at DJ Rand did the shit on Nitro in the 90s. You're the DJ Rand of the podcast.
Okay, we'll go with that. Because I am DJing this week at said 880 event. I'm on it tonight. I'm so on it. Let's go.
Some sugar in the pancakes is wearing off. You're going down.
And I'm Jess. I'm just here.
Just the new girl, Jess.
Just the new girl.
The Stephanie Wyand of IWGA. No, I'm joking. I don't.
Who is that?
Stephanie Wyand was the woman they had doing Mania with Todd Pettengill for like 2 months.
Thanks, Grandpa.
I'm trying to think of a random woman in wrestling we could throw in there.
A random woman in wrestling.
I wanted to go kind of obscure.
Jess is the Tammy Lynn Sitch of this podcast.
No. 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 We're not going there. No.
I don't know about that one. I don't think so.
Okay, fine. You're the Missy Hyatt of this podcast.
All right, we'll stick with that.
Jess's life is way too in order to be even close to Tammy Lynn Sitch, let's be fair.
Oh, geez. I don't know. I've seen have you seen Jess's car recently?
I know she's a big fan of
it's
the hit movie
literally
Crash.
The one time. Why do you think I had that sticker on there?
I don't know if that's going to make anybody but the four of us laugh, but we all laugh, so it works.
Yeah, that's, it's for us. It's a little inside joke.
My favorite thing is whenever I'm at a stop sign and someone's behind me, I see people pull out their phones for my Grease 2 sticker, and then I see them Google the 96 crash, and then I see their immediate facial reactions, and it's the best thing in the world to me.
And then you put it in reverse and back up into them?
You know what you signed up for.
Shout out Zach, Chris, and Andrew. Chris and Andrew, you guys should be getting your defunct pro wrestling t-shirts. Hit up Jay Gold for those. Zach, you will get yours from me in person in May when I come down for my vacation in Dallas. I guess I should try to do some business while I'm down there and get the title defended at New Texas Pro, huh? It's on the other side of the state, but, you know.
Yeah, that would be like, yeah, going from where NAC is to where New Tech and Pro is, like going from London to like somewhere three countries away in the UK. Can see how big Tech is. But.
Yeah, it's 8 hours away plus probably, so that'll just be a easy
DM. Are you
DM
close enough to bully Alex Jones?
I don't know. Where does he live?
If he could hold a Dalton can tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last time I talked to Dalton, he was talking about like how this dog doesn't like any man except for him. And then I called him a bitch. That's why the dog doesn't mind him. And I haven't talked to him since. So I don't know. Plus, I heard like Nintendo's after him. So I don't want to give away his geolocation in case they're like tapped in on us.
They're always watching.
Constantly on the move.
Yeah. Yeah. He's constantly on the move. So that the drones can't get him.
A good thing he had a good editor on another podcast. Otherwise, Kalvik information would have been out there. He'd be easy to find. But
hi, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Everybody got to see you except for Jayhawk, who was watching at home. Patty bought us energy drinks. We joked about doing the weird fountain thing, but we did not do the weird fountain thing. At least this time, maybe when it's warmer, maybe at the Rager show, we'll do it.
What's on this weekend?
All right. Over on the Triller TV powered by Fight kind of thing. Not a whole hell of a lot, at least as of this recording. A lot of time as we mentioned earlier, we are kind of recording this on Sunday. A lot of times they drop the schedule on Monday. We don't have everything yet. So far as live and free, really not much going on. For those of you who are willing to pay for your wrestling, AAA is presenting night one of Triple Mania Monterey, Saturday, April 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And the event featuring, I can't believe I don't want to push the main event, but I'm going to, it's the only thing I got. AAA Mega Championship Nick Namath against El Patron Alberto. So that's a match that's going to happen in 2024. But I am going to break mention real quick. There is a karate event on Saturday called the Chikara Grand Prix, and I just laughed at the thought of Mike Quackenbush booking karate in
Let's
Japan.
Fucking go. He's cooking again. You know, the crypto thing didn't work out, so he's moved on to actual karate tournaments. That's my headcanon.
Yeah. The honest answer is nobody booking that never heard of Shakara Wrestling, but the headcanon's so much funnier.
But what if they did, Jayhawk? What if they did?
You know what? I honestly, part of me wants to know if that is what's going on. I really want to know, but that's all I got.
All right. Over on IWTV, Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Action presents Action Forever, featuring Mustafa Ali taking on Landon Hale, Cruel defending the IWTV Championship against Adam Priest in a loser of the fall must lose their hair. Also for the Action Tag Team Championship, Matt Sells and Jason Newman take on the Good Hands and much more. Then on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, H2O presents Uninvited, featuring for the H2O Championship in a TLC match. For the H2O Championship in a TLC match, Austin Luke takes on Alex Stretch. For the H2O Tag Team Championship, the Pillars take on the Attention Seekers. In a 200 Light Tubes match, Killdozer Matt Tremont takes on Anthrax and much, much more.
Surely you could have stopped at 100 Light Tubes for the match. I feel like that's an appropriate amount. 200 seems a bit much.
I mean, anything more than like 2 Light Tubes could probably too much, and if you're being realistic about it, but...
So it should be a roll.
Fuck that. I think it should hit 4 digits. Give us 1,000 light tubes.
I think it should be a roll that if you're going to put a number on how many light tubes are in the match, you should have to use every single one of those light tubes before you can get a pinfall.
I want a counter to go off as each one gets used.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're bordering on that company that did the 1 million plastic building block match, but they couldn't use the brand name.
Oh, you mean the homies at, what the hell's that company?
Yeah, if I could remember that off the top of my head, I would have got the name of the company. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Interspecies Wrestling.
There we are.
Why is it also a 1,000 light tube deathmatch sounds like it would be like a Mr. Beast video or something that some poor people would have to engage in to get their life-saving surgery?
Right.
That's a Mr. Beast video. You take a bunch of old deathmatch guys that have gone down these wrong paths, like the Necro Butcher. Make a Mr. Beast style video of 1,000 light tube deathmatch for them to get their surgery paid for.
I feel like 1,000 light tube deathmatch would lead you to needing the surgery that would be being paid for.
Capitalism, baby.
And also, I always got to do this since they're not on an official network, but YouTube is a big place. So 880 Wrestling will be on YouTube April 26th, this Friday, 8 p.m. And I have some of the match card I can announce to you here. We have the fourth line going against the Dangerous Knights crew for, I'm assuming, the 880 Tag Team Championships. We have the Wildflowers going up against Members Only. We have Angelo Carter going up against Junie Underwood. We have Marco Narciso going up against CPA.
Nice.
Let's go.
And in the main event, amateur wrestler Reese Hayes defending his 880 championship against A-Game Joseph Alexander. Also, MV is doing something. Plus, have you heard about this? Have you seen this? The IW Guy champion is going to be crowned at this show. Derek Dillinger, Mikey Montgomery, Ryan Zane, and Sid Von England are going to be in the match, four-way eliminator for the belt. How about that?
And you truly will be the referee for that match. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
IW Guide presents another absolute intense wrestling review.
All right, and this week we are covering Absolute Intense Wrestling's When the Smoke Clears. Took place this past Saturday, April 20th, 2024, from the Tadmore Shrine in Akron, Ohio.
Let's address the elephant in the room here.
Why the
there
fuck
is no
they
more
paint
elephants
that building?
In the room?
I motherfuckers, they killed any bit of character that venue had.
Maybe they're gonna do more painting in there, and that's just like the coat to cover up the original shit. But that fucking bright goddamn white, like that, there's no charm to that building now.
I know this is something that was outside of AIW's hands, but boy, did that kill the vibe of the show.
Like watching the replay this morning. Like I wasn't completely looking up. I was getting ready to take my note, and my son goes, "Is that the building we went to last time with AIW?" And I went, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Do you see the? And I looked up and went, Where the fuck is the camel? What the fuck is the tent? What the fuck happened?
Yeah, and it's also, I was rewatching just to recheck a couple things because I was there live, but I wanted to have some stuff for notes. Yeah, the lighting is not very good on the hard cam.
Yeah, it's all washed out.
Because the building is too fucking white.
Like, I mean, the wall that behind the hard cam is like a tan and would probably look better on the hard cam than the white did, so maybe they'll flip-flop it next time. Because it just was not like great.
I get why the hard cam on that side, if you try to keep the aisle way on the left-hand side of the hard camera, that's kind of the standard, and I get it. But sometimes if the show's going to look better at the hard cam in a different place, you need to go with that route. Like they had an AIW banner up over on the wall over the bleacher. I think if they could even put that on that wall that was in front of the hard cam.
Yeah, we kind of talked about if they have like the old Go for Broke banners or anything to put up on there, like promoting AIW stuff, merch, and get like a big banner to put up on there, something just to break up that color. It should be a little bit better because it's not great. It is not great. And that was pretty much the biggest heel of the entire show. It got lots and lots of boos.
Yeah, like I've yet to see one person on Twitter go, "I like the paint job. I don't know why people are bitching about." No one has said it.
Well, that's, you know, they want it's that's just it. It's not, that room is for more than just wrestling shows. It's now it's universal for like weddings and shit. That's like kind of why, you know, they got to drum up more business. They also put in like a fucking whole like kitchen window thing, server window. Over by the in the back there too, by the merch stuff. So I mean, it's,
but yeah, they kept the creepy clown.
Well, that's out in the other room. That's not in the main room where you
know. I think they should compromise and put the creepy clown in the middle of that room.
I don't think that's gonna work. There's too much. I don't think just that's gonna work.
Hang the clown from the rafters.
Good. And just have a clown in the shark cage match.
Clown on a pole match. First one to get the clown can use it.
In what way?
However they want to use it. You can your imagination on that, Marky.
Maybe I already have.
I kind of figured that. Why I said that.
Maybe we should actually get
Wins has to get Jokerified. As if wrestling needs another Jokerified person.
We should actually get into the show itself here. And we open with the four-way match. Mikey Montgomery, Tyson Riggs, Trey Lamar, and Chuck Stone. Yeah, Mikey and Rick jumped Stone before the bell, which I thought was good. I would have actually liked to have seen more of the first part of the match being all three guys to try and get rid of Chuck Stone and take him out. He's the biggest of the three to kind of try to eliminate him. But, I mean, like a minor nitpick.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Tyson Riggs impressed me in this match.
He improved quite a bit.
He had a couple spots where I thought he was going to flub real bad, and he fucking nailed him. And they looked good. And then he started doing his like martial arts, like karate chants and shit. And it made me laugh, but it fucking built his character. It's good for him. It's good for him that he's done it. He has got himself kind of over. I mean, he's not just over with Thorn. He's over with a lot of people now. It's very impressive. So Chuck Stone hitting that power.
He's probably
bomb.
Definitely.
Go ahead.
He's probably been studying the early Kurt Angle, because I'm not in the moveset, but sort of in the character space, getting an understanding of how his built-in character as a professional in a different sport, applying it over and learning how that interacts with the crowd. And, you know, he's working on getting those in locked in tighter. And that's really cool.
But he's also coming off as more of a face, which is just, it's so bizarre. Like, pushing him as a heel to begin with, like, I think that's where you initially think it needs to go, but it's really weird. Like, he's coming off as a face, and the stuff that he's doing is really like popping good. It's really, it's very bizarre. I'm very interested to see where this goes, because it's very interesting. It's not your average thing. I don't know. It's really hard to, I mean, he's the one guy we didn't have on the podcast for the fresh meat. He's the one guy that kind of blew us off for it. So this is very interesting to me to see him start to really take root and do things. So
some people just take longer to get it. And I think that's what it is with him. I think he's finally starting to get it. He's starting to realize what he needs to do to further his career. And it did work here. A couple of nice spots that he was involved in. At one point, Mikey had kicked him off the top rope, and Rick ended up spearing Stone on the way down.
Which was the only super contrived part of the match that I did not like. I thought it was too contrived.
Now, the one I thought was too contrived, you mentioned Stone with the powerbomb. Yeah. Rick draped over the top rope, and Stone powerbombed Mikey on top of him. That looked way too contrived. Poor Rick and Skinner, like, covering up the back of his head, waiting for it, and waiting for it, and waiting for it. The stuff where somebody draped over the rope and taking another move very rarely worked, because it looks phony. I know I got my old headman in the cloud
right. routine well, going on I with mean, that. Even, but. Like, I was really digging a lot of the stuff they were doing. A lot of the stuff looked great when Trey would kind of, like, did his double rollback and the double kick. And there's a lot of stuff that looked really smooth that, like, looked like they almost flubbed it but didn't. And then that spot happened with Mikey into the spear, and I'm like, I don't like that spot. I don't like anything that, like, throws somebody and they just so happen to catch a spear. Like, I can get it if they got thrown and they kind of just, like, headbutt slash, like, shoulder tackle somebody or something like that, but, like, into another move, just for some reason right now it does not work for me. But I'm sure it's fine. It's probably just a weird thing that, you know, that just kind of stood out to me. But yeah, that was the right move to start with this four-way. They asked what match should start the show, and I said that this match should start the show, and they listened to me. So,
you. I'm sure that it was just your opinion that swayed them, brothers.
My opinion had like 5 likes on it. I was the only one. My opinion was the only one that had that many likes. Like, there was no other opinions that had more likes than mine. So in that little thing, I won.
I thought I had a God complex. Jeez.
Be careful saying that out loud. Elon Musk is trying to ban any engagement farming accounts. No.
That was on Facebook, not Twitter. So fuck Elon Musk.
Yeah. We had a 2 or 3 minutes there where it was just Trey against Mikey. And that was my favorite part of the match. I love those two guys. That's not a knock on Stone or on Rig, okay, but Trey and Mikey working together, the chemistry they have just at another level.
And I like the choke. I like the finish to the match.
It was Chuck Stone with an elevated Cobra clutch to tap out Mikey and 10 minutes and 6 seconds. And he holds on to it for a few seconds after the bell. Harley put over that Inca Badak and Harley put over the hold, which is fine. I got no issues with it. We kind of got a sense of where he's going a little bit later on. We'll talk about it. I mean, as long as they have a direction they want to go with him, it's fine. There are two matches that I don't have a ton of notes on because I was just watching it. This is one of them. Dex Royal against Alex Price.
Very good. Crowd was kind of quiet, and it's an Akron crowd. They're always really weird. They're usually really quiet unless they're super packed, and then they're kind of loud. This was really good, but it was really quiet because everybody, I think, was doing the same thing. They were just watching, and it was really good.
They gelled really well together, though.
Yes. I mean, Dex is so good. Like, I love that AIW has given him all these opportunities with big names, like with Speedball and now with Alec Price. It's really showing that he can fucking hang with these guys and really building his name and everything. So that's really fucking cool.
Yeah, I think it was just two great workers doing really great shit for like 12 minutes. Like, I went digging it. And they did one spot early on where Price asked for the handshake. Dex kind of hesitated to do it, but went for it, and then Price kicked him because they established a Price with the heel. And that was pretty much it for storytelling. You had a fake and a heel, and you're rooting for the fake and booing the heel. Good stuff all around.
And then I'll put over Wadsworth and Alberti on this one, because going play by play through all of that was a task and a half.
Oh yeah,
and so being able to keep up and keep the logical consistency throughout and putting over the fact that, hey, these are two guys at the top of their game. The only reason one is getting an advantage over the other is just one hair of a mistake or a misstep. Using through misdirections and change-ups to get them, you know.
Yeah, and let's put Wadsworth and Alberti over on commentary, basically for the whole show. I mean, I've said for years, if Wadsworth wanted to work more play, he would be considered one of the best play-by-play men in wrestling right now. I mean, he's really good. And Alberti improved with every show. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the playback, so I'm just kind of going off live show memory since it's only been, you know, less than 24 hours for us. I will say that Alec Price is just so fast with his like offense and shit like that. So yeah, I could totally see how it's a bitch to keep up with trying to call what he does, because he's fucking all over the ring constantly. They definitely did some interesting stuff. There was a Spanish fly that looked really great. It kind of sucked the crowd wasn't more into it. They were all kind of just watching and sitting on their hands because it was so good. From memory, like that's my kind of thing. Like I was, you know, shouting and like popping when they were hitting big stuff. So that was good stuff.
So Royal going for the shooting star press slips a little bit. You know, he's not able to really get to it, and that ended up completing the prank, hitting a modified version of a flying neckbreaker for the pin in 11:46. Really good stuff. This might have been my favorite match of the night. From there, we go to the 8-man tag team match. Cash is king of Eric Taylor, Money Shot, and the Duke against Kaplan, Wes Barkley, and PME, accompanied by Bill Fonzie Alfonso. Before the match, Eric Taylor is like, we'll invest in your jerky, just join Cash is King. And Kaplan's like, well, can we change the name? Because the name's stupid. And they're like, yeah, whatever you want. Okay, what the hell? Yeah, screw it. And then he punches Eric Taylor, and it's on. Good way to open that. I like that.
Yeah, I went out to my car when Cassius King was on their way out. And when I came back in from the car getting my sunflower seeds, all of the other team hadn't even made their way out yet. And I couldn't believe that the match hadn't even started yet. It's like, wow, this is a super long entrance segment. Because everybody on the other team had to have their entrance instead of just coming out at once.
You had a total of five entrances. Cash King came out all at once. Fonzie comes out by himself so that he can play Pantera. Then Kaplan comes out. Then Barkley comes out. Then PME comes out.
Yeah, they should have just had everybody come out to Fonzie's Pantera and just come out with Fonzie. That's what I would have done. I don't know. That's just me, though. But yeah, that's... I don't really have anything on this. This is kind of exactly what I thought it would be.
So Wadsworth mentions on commentary here that if Money Shot can keep the belt until June 10th, they will be the longest single reign in AIW tag team history.
Actually outlasting PME from the pandemic.
Yes. And they've just passed PME's other title reign, which was number two.
Interesting.
And throughout the show, Wadsworth was putting up the tag team records that we'll get to in the four-way tag.
So I found that interesting. We kind of talked with our last AIW review that people think the tag team division kind of stagnated, and I kind of went because Money Shot beating everybody, and that kind of proved my point. Been a long title reign at this point.
It really has been.
You know who it really has. You know who they wouldn't beat? The Spectral Envoy. Just saying.
Probably not. Yeah. So they did do the false tag where there's a tag behind the referee's back and the referee doesn't see it and doesn't allow it. And I kind of laughed at that, but we did one in RAPW last night, and the reason we did RAPW was nobody does them anymore and not too many referees know how to properly do it. And here AIW did it basically about the same time we did it. So I kind of laughed for that. And credit to Charles Van, did a really good job refereeing that spot, by the way. Props to Charles Van for that. We do get the hot tag to Kaplan. Then Barkley blind tag himself in. We get Barkley versus Taylor, which we've been pinning at for a while. Charles Van eats the inadvertent boot from Taylor. And then all hell starts to break loose. Kaplan goes for the split-legged moonsault. Chuck Stone comes out to stop it. Everybody fighting everybody. And then in the ring, we get Eric Taylor with a low blow to Wes. Duke hitting him with the Hawk boot. And Taylor hitting the curb stomp and getting the pin. 10 minutes and 38 seconds. Last couple minutes, one after the ref bump, really hot. I agree with you up until that point, though. Pretty much what you expected out of the gate guy.
So this is all. They're still building up to the Cybernetico, but I feel like teams are kind of starting to take shape.
What's really interesting is, you know, I kind of thought maybe that's what they were doing with Dom sort of aligning with Bax, but like maybe we were going to get like, you know, Shawn Mason having a team and Dom having a team, but now it's kind of like it's still looking like it's going to be Eric Taylor and Wes. So I don't, it's very interesting. I don't know if maybe those two things are going to converge into one team.
Yeah, well, they've already announced that Wes and Taylor are the captain for the Cybernetico.
Right.
And there is eight on a side. You could have Dom and the BX guys on the Cash of King side. And then, assuming Tom Lawler's making the eight, Lawler, Shawn Mason, and a couple other guys on the other side with Wes.
So, I mean, right. It's, it kind of seems like what they're going for or heading towards.
Any other thoughts on this one?
It was a match that happened.
Shout out Philly Collins for losing all that weight, man. He looks fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh my does. God. And he said it's all thanks to Marino getting him on a eating plan and taking him to the gym and making him work out. So fuck yeah. Keep it up, Philly. You look fucking amazing, dude. Love you.
Okay, from there, we have filthy Tom Lawler against Dominic Guarini. Another candidate for match of the night. I love this one a lot.
What a look Lawler was rocking, by the way.
So bizarre. Like slip-ons, fucking blue MMA gloves, a t-shirt, fucking track pant. What the one's happening?
He was on some like actual shooter shit.
Marcy, I feel like he was a Street Fighter character. Like it almost looked like he was a Street Fighter character. Like that's what he was going for.
I don't think so.
No, you don't think so? He was a fighting game character. He looked like one at least. But it felt like he was trying to imitate a fighting game character with like his outfit. So I don't know. We'll have to look into that and see if there was something there or not. But yeah.
I figured he was just going for very early days when anyone could compete in the UFC.
He should only had one glove on.
fair.
Some Art Jemerson and shit.
Early days of UFC, Pono would have been a big 600-pound guy that could barely fucking move that they try to claim with some kind of weird fighting discipline. But
he just tries to gain all that weight for this one show.
Oh.
But I do love this match a lot. They start off with some grappling, and then they start striking, and then the longer the match went, the more intense it got.
Mm-hmm.
It really built nicely. So, as much as I love Deck Royal and Alex Frank, that was probably my favorite match of the night. This is right behind it, if not even with it. I love this one.
Yeah, this Dom's elbow got split open. Him and Tom have quite the history, so it's good stuff. I really enjoyed what I saw. I wanted more. Kind of bummed with the finish. Thought it kind of took away from the match itself, but it is what it is, and it's building towards other things. So
okay, it's building toward other things. I can take a finish that I don't necessarily want if it makes sense, kind of building to something.
Right.
Like everybody's like, I can't believe they did a DQ finish. Well, they're building to something. You need a DQ once in a while to build a shit. Yeah, so, like in this case here, Shawn Mason comes out to kind of even the side, leg out Guy Garcia, fucking up, damn near killed Kid Von England.
He had an angle slam onto the fucking guardrail.
Oh, that was.
We just see him go up and down, and
he went down in slow motion. That was the best part. Like he just like flipped over the rail backwards in slow motion, fucking just throwing that hog into the crowd.
Yeah,
and he was feeling it too because. Insider bit, we were filming a vignette for the upcoming show, and he was still very, very sore when we were filming it. So
everyone needs their floor time.
When I saw him take that angle slam, I was gonna go, I wish I could keep looking butter fake, but he's going, oh fuck, now I got another perk in this four way out.
No, I didn't even I saw it, but it didn't even like make me worried. Like what I was more worried about something else later on in the semi-main. But I figured it'd be okay. Like at this point, I'm a week out. I can't fucking stress anymore.
Yeah. But in the end, this distraction allowed Lawler to roll up Dom for the pin. 4-0-1. Yeah, I get the finish is building to something. So maybe the finish prevents it from being the match of the night and a lot of people guy, but it's building to something. It makes sense. I'm good with it. And the match is fantastic.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites of the night, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. From there, we have it wasn't advertised a contend rule, but they worked at a contend rule match. Jake and Bane against Joshua Bishop.
Oh, let's go. This was.
Well, I mean, the intense icon's in there, so it's going to be intense rules with the intense icon.
Oh, you got Bishop out there acting. Go ahead.
Shout out to Tess for giving us the door of the night, so to speak.
Yeah, you got Bishop out there acting like he's the Rock. The match goes out to the floor, and he basically tell Tom Dunn, you better not fucking count a cow, which was fine. And by the way, perfect. Tom Dunn reffing that perfect and well. Like, no one else could referee in this match. That was perfect. That was perfect assignment there, which Wadsworth brought out on commentary. Yeah, I don't think this was a random assignment. I think this one's on purpose. But yeah,
Jason Bane, still the big man, still fucking hanging in there. Supposedly, this is probably the last we'll see of him. appreciate what he's done for, you know, coming back and doing this. And it was really cool to have a little run out of him in 2024. So.
Yeah, but they're doing all kinds of insane shit. They got the guardrail bridge got up, the door of the night just exploding when it hit Bane, and then getting thrown at him and shattering again. Fucking great. Peeking through the fucking door going into the crowd, which my son picked up on.
And so did all the little
kids.
All those kids had them, and they had them all autographed by everybody.
Nice.
That shit rocks.
Yeah, Bane F5 Bishop onto that guardrail bridge, and the guardrail duck and budge.
Of course and, not. Ugh.
And Bishop wound up taking that more on his knee than anything else, which might have actually helped him a little bit. You got a Death Valley Driver through the door, which and lick a awesome chant. And what I like here is there are a couple of times where Bishop hitting his big move, he hit the black hole slam, but he doesn't hit it clean. Like Bane, yeah, you know, almost like Bane fighting it off, and Bishop just powered into it, which was nice.
Yeah, that black hole slam was insane to watch live. Like, ooh, you could tell, like, we're like, oh no, he's gonna drop him, and he just like just powered through it and fucking got it, and we're like, whoa, it's crazy.
In the end, Bishop hits his own version of the Bane line, then struggle but get the Bishop bomb again. Bane was fighting this a little bit. He went down, but he was struggling, but he was fighting it. It felt like a contest. It felt like he was trying to avoid the finish and got hit with it and got pinned. Great shit. Anybody else on this one?
Dude's rock. That's just all I want to say.
Yeah,
a few fans Wadsworth was putting it over that this was a Godzilla and Kong kind of match. No finesse, just hard shots and big things blowing up. Everything a good girl wants.
He had a few fans trying to start a standing ovation for Bane. Didn't really take, but when Bane got out of the ring, there was a second attempt to start it, and that one picked up a little bit better. I wish Bane would have gotten a better reaction on the way out than what he did, but it is what it is. And so from there, we have the intermission. The only thing you missed if you were there live and didn't watch the replay back on the intermission, that they did have a Sam Holloway promo about his match with Broner.
It was good.
It was a good promo. Holloway basically saying, you know, Broner saying that I'm next, but he's now. I'm tired of waiting for my moment. The next is now. Good shit. All right, we come back from the intermission, and it's 2 out of 3 falls. Josh Prohibition, and what he is claiming will be his last ever match in Akron against Tyler Jordan. And shout out to J-Pro. He cut the promo beforehand, and even channeled Rick Rude on the 25th anniversary of Rick Rude's death. He does a Rick Rude-style insult at the beginning, which is fantastic.
There's just something about smacking the yellow off of somebody's teeth that just gets in there.
Yeah, so they announced a couple of days before this that if the match went to the third fall would be no DQ, but regular rule for the first two falls. So they're on the floor for quite a bit in the first fall, but everybody keeps rolling in to break the count, in and back out to break the count, which is perfectly fine. First fall ends with Jordan able to counter one drunken driver, but not the second one. And during the break between falls, the kid in the crowd start chanting, "Mr. Clean sucks." Apparently, if you're bald, you're Mr. Clean.
Correct.
A timeless classic.
Second fall lasts all of 33 seconds. Jordan make a comeback, hit the frog splash to even it up.
Yeah, they went very quickly for the second fall. It's, you know.
I'm glad they resisted the Mexico format of the first two falls take like 4 minutes total, and then the third fall is like 20 minutes. I get that the style of Mexico, but I fucking hate that with a passion. I'm glad they didn't go that route with it anyway. But of course, the third fall being no DQ, they do all kinds of crazy shit. Tiger Driver going to the chair. The spot where Jordan had fucking talk about yuking the chair, then realizing he has to yuke it, and he gets a couple of shots in. J-Pro gets a drunken driver onto the chair, does not get the 3 count. Even I kind of popped for that fall finish. That was good. And J-Pro reaches underneath the broadcast table and pulls out a pair of zip tie handcuffs.
Probably a lot more dependable than standard handcuffs.
So he's got Jordan hand tied behind him. He's whacking him with the chair a little bit. And then Matt Cross shows up unannounced, yanked the chair out of J-Pro's hand. J-Pro's like, "What the fuck you doing?" And credit Wadsworth on commentary. Yeah, Matt Cross is not booked on the show. We assume he's here as a guest of Josh Prohibition. So perfectly acceptable explanation as to why Matt Croc would be there when he's not scheduled to be there. And Jordan gets his hands free, hit the drunken driver, then the frog splash. Total time, not counting the rest period, 21 minutes and 7 seconds. Did anybody see how Jordan got his hand free, but it did not show up on the broadcast?
Dude, I didn't even know Matt Cross showed up in this match.
I may or may not have been feeling the limits of my body and stepped out at that point.
Yeah. Any idea how we got out of the Gipti handcuff, Mark?
I don't, but I do know that Matt Cross was there. I can confirm that.
Wazers was putting over that. I think 4 years or in 4 days to the day of the show, it would have been it's J Pro's 25th year.
Yeah, 25th anniversary.
We're putting over. Yes.
Yeah. And I believe it would be Matt Cross and Kenneth Welk. I believe they start on the same show. They're right around the same time, if not.
What starts together ends together.
Exactly.
For someone.
Okay. We go from there to the four-way tag team match. Bang and Matthew, To Infinity and Beyond, Latino Most Wanted, and the Spectral Envoy. I didn't try to take note of that one because there were eight people doing all kinds of shit, and there's no way I'm going to be able to actually write anything down and watch half the fucking match.
I was so happy I got to see Ultramantis live again.
He still has the scar from fucking Nightmare Freddy. It's fucking fantastic.
So when they were getting ready to go, I yelled for Mantis, and he started like yelling back to me. I was like, Mantis, and he's like, whoa, at me. It was really funny. I love it. I love Mantis.
Yeah, but this is one that I wish I would have been in the best state to watch their live, because even on the replay, this was awesome.
It's it was a Flippy Boy match. It was really fun.
And go kind of a neat spot where Colin's trying to hold Matthew for Cheech's Cooper kick, and Matthew kept reverting it, and they kept reverting it. You could keep Cheech every time he was start going for the kick, and switch out, go, God damn it!
That was a good one.
Yeah, I was laughing out loud at that. That was great.
Oh, when Colin and Cheech first tried sneaking up on Ultramantis and Hollow Wicked, like when they first got tagged in, that was another great one too. Where they even did that old like throwback to the old Chikara spot, and Mantis and Hawk like were having none of it.
That was good stuff. It was real good stuff. It was a fun time.
Okay, Colin Delaney pinned Matthew with a lung blower powerbomb combo 12-24. To Infinity and Beyond win, LOL.
I don't know if I would say this was the best match of the show, but this is definitely the match that made me the happiest during the show.
Yeah, it definitely got me back into the show. I was kind of out of it between halfway through the first part and then coming back from intermission. And then this kind of got me back into the wrestling show vibes. So,
And this is where Wadsworth brought up the tag titles again, mentioning how Infinity and Beyond have the record for number of reigns, so keeping that through line of the tag titles history. So that was very cool.
Yep, 5-time champion, nobody else with more than 3 specifically he had. So and from there we have our semi main event. It is a dog collar match, Derek Dillinger with Katie Arquette against Magnum TK. If you're looking for a technical masterpiece, this is it. If you saw Magnum TK looking it and you were expecting ha ha funny, that's kicking it.
Look, they're just like me. That's all I'm gonna say.
Would have loved to been in there for the Mr. Crowley. That was sick.
Yeah, it was pretty dope.
Yeah, they did show Magnum entering the arena earlier. He was already wearing the dog collar, and he already had a serious face on. Like even before he gets out there, if you were watching it, you knew what the mindset for Magnum CK was coming in.
Was Magnum CK dark? He should have had face paint on, I think. Something cool face paint wise, like a star or something on his eye. That'd have been cool.
Yeah. And this is great. Magnum's working on Derek's leg, and Derek's doing such a good job of cutting his leg that even the cut route kind of starting to get behind Derek, even though they know they're not supposed to. And then because Derek a good dick, he had the crowd turned again by the end of it. So
I'm gonna take that clip of you saying that Derek has a good dick and send that to him. So
okay, he actually does look in the show once in a while. He's gonna get the context, I think.
Yeah, but I'm going to send it to him before the show comes out.
Okay. I'm sure it'll get something Friday. It's fine. Echo. We do get Tom Dunn taking the ref bump that allows Katie Arquette to come in and interfere. I mean, she could have anyway because there's no DQ in a dog collar match, but you get the point. We get the skin of Massacre elbow, but there's no referee to make the count. We get Magnum using the low blow with the chain and then the elevated Uranage, and the chain actually breaks off of Dillinger's collar on that Uranage. Yeah, Katie hopping up on the apron, Magnum grabbed her, and Tegan's like, he's going to do the spot where you kiss the valet on the apron. He just fucking headbutted her and knocked her off, and then hang her with the fucking chain.
That rocks so much.
Yes. And then Magnum off the top with the flying elbow drop with the chain wrapped around his arm for the pin in 1438. Yeah. I'm not sure what I expected going into this match. And I can't say if this is what I expected or not, but I like the storytelling here. This is fucking good.
Yeah, Dillinger's not been bleeding for a little bit, so Magnum sought to correct it, and that he did.
They made up for all of this one show.
And then we have our main event. It is for the Absolute Championship. The challenger, Sam Hardaway Holloway. The champion, the problem, Isaiah Broner. We get the MSG-style main event entrance gig where they're walking with the guy from the locker room till they get out the entrance. Great touch.
Those are so good.
That definitely helped build the big fight feel if you were watching at home. That was fantastic. And we got it. And we got a really good match between these two to close out this show. I like the fact that Camp got a headlock on early on and Broner's trying to do the heat pulling my hair. But for whatever reason, like Broner's the last guy I would expect to pull that off, and it worked. I love it. Okay, so my one criticism of Charles Van as the referee here, and it's not his fault, it's just the way things are these days. Technically, when guys are trying to roll in and out to break the count, they're supposed to roll all the way in to break the count, and they kept rolling in, like putting a head in, and then going right back out. That's not supposed to be enough, but it's the way it is now. That's not even necessarily the criticism of Charles Van, it's just the criticism of the way the business has evolved, I guess.
Deal with it, old man.
It's one of those deals where like you have to call it that way because otherwise you're fucking the match up. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, if referees were told to call it like a shoot, he should have kept counting. But one of those deals.
Big meaty men slapping meat, baby.
Hell yeah.
That's the main takeaway from this match.
Yeah. And a Wadsworth said it was something like 13 months since their Holloway and Broner had their first meeting. I think it got 13 or 14. I think it got February last year with their previous meeting. So, okay. So that was tying in with it as well. God damn, I love fucking Kim Holloway when he does that goddamn Mike Awesome dive over the top and just fucking no hands. That's such a thing of beauty. And he flew so far this time, he hit Broner and then kept going and went into the crowd.
Yeah.
He got some fucking height on that.
It almost looked like Broner almost countered and like moved enough to like push him over into the barricade into the crowds, what it looked like from my angle. But yeah, like looking back at it from the other video angles, you could see that he just fucking almost overshot Broner.
That was glorious to see live.
Insane. And then the Sam Holloway counter of the lariat with the big boot, and Broner spun it around and hit one with the left instead of the right. So good. Such a good. I almost thought fucking Holloway was going to win it, man. I was like, oh man, we're going to get a title change here. They're going to, you know, the attendance isn't super great. So we're going to fucking change the belt, show people they should show up to shows. But No, but
that's great. Yeah. Broner hits the lariat with the left hand instead of the right. He only gets the one count off of it, which is a nice touch. And Sam gets the shotgun dropkick and the pump handle slam. Duncan get all the pump handle slam, only gets a one count off of it. That's perfectly fine. Yeah. Sam got the choke slam, got the two count out of it, and then Broner finally hit the lariat with the right arm for the pin in 1623. It's really good stuff. Good main event.
Who's left for Broner?
That's just it. Like, they didn't even really teague anything afterward either. Like, I was expecting somebody to come out and make a challenge or something, but we didn't even get a teague.
Yeah.
They went off the air.
I kind of wish they would do something in these last couple shows with him after the after his match. Because I know they had, so, and granted, I've missed the last few weeks of Intense TV, so maybe someone can catch me up if they've done anything with Cassius King. Because that was back in the December Cleveland show, where Duke pretty much outright said, yeah, I'm going to have someone come after you.
Right. Well, that's what we kind of thought, like, they could have done it with Alec Price, they could have done it with a bunch of different people, started bringing in ringers to go after the title and brought in a bunch of names. That's what I was kind of like thinking they would do, bring in some names to start going after Broner for the belt, and he could start putting people down, and then finally, you know, somebody steps up that's able to take it from him. But have not done anything yet, so I don't know. It feels like their storylines have all kind of like dried up, wrapped up sort of going into Gauntlet, so I don't know if like they're just gonna start fresh with a bunch of new stuff for Gauntlet next month or what we're doing, but it's I mean, outside of the Shaw Dom feud, it's everything else is kind of at its end. So, curious where it's going to go.
And in fairness, they did say that the winner of the Cybernetico is going to get the title shot at Gauntlet. They really couldn't teak anything.
Okay. So they're doing that again?
That's how Sam got it the last time. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And
of course,
if I pay attention to other things, I would know these things. So.
And that show will not be streaming. So if you want to find out firsthand who's going to be taking on Brunette Gauntlet, you need to get to that show on May 2nd. Yeah, I'll give Thorn his free plug for the ticket on that. All right, where are we leading with this? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle?
I'm going thumbs up. I had a good time. I thought there was a lot of really good matches. I think that, you know, there could have been some more variety on the show, but it is what it is.
I will give it a thumbs up as well. I would have liked to have seen a women's match on the card.
Right? Something. Yeah. Something. What the fuck?
Yeah, thumbs up for me as well, especially for just the fact that we got the Spectral Envoy.
Yeah, who I'd like to see back again soon.
But yeah, there'd be some more women's matches on the card, please.
You know, I get you don't have TV, but yeah, throw one on a show.
This was a thumbs up for me once I was able to get my bearings and tune into the rest of the show and get back in the plane in which everyone else was. But yeah, no, you know, it's not. It was being dubbed Acrolution by a lot of people going into the show with the wide variety of stories and matches going in together, seemingly a lot of things culminating and sort of heading into Cybernetico and the Gauntlet. It's building the grounds for some new ones. So very excited to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be the end of the Magnum Derek feud. Where do you go from there? I mean, I would think that's the end of the Prohibition Tyler Jordan feud, but I thought that after match 3 and it was match 5, go, what the fuck do I know there? But yeah, gonna be interesting the next couple of months leading in Absolution in July. So
I'm the summer of shows is gonna be very interesting.
Any other thoughts from anybody before we wrap it up?
Plugs.
All right, you can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and TikTok at Ref Jayhawk, Instagram at Jayhawk1539. And I know we've mentioned it a couple of times on this show, but we'll mention it again. I will be at 880 Wrestling Family Tie 2 Friday in New Kensington, Pennsylvania, 8 o'clock start. That IW Guide Championship match and all the other matches we mentioned earlier as well. Go check that show out. If you can't get there live, watch it on YouTube. You don't watch it on YouTube, what the fuck's wrong with you? There's no other wrestling going on Friday night.
And it's free on YouTube, guys. Free.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and SoundCloud at EagerLFanboy, boy spelled B-O-I. I will also be in the building for 880s Wrestling Family Ties. I will be DJing. So come out. I don't think me doing my thing is going to be on the YouTube section. So you have to make it out there live if you want to have the truest of fun times.
You might make the YouTube connection. They'll just mute you out for copyright shit.
And I will also be there. Not DJing or reffing or having panic attacks over the booking, but I'll just be there. But no, it's been fun coming on co-hosting for this last couple of weeks. And yeah, looking forward to the next pup pack and whenever able to get back on.
You can follow me on Twitter at Charlie_Butters or on Instagram at Charlie Butters. I think it's on the same thing there. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to us. Help keep us in the top 180 wrestling podcasts. We haven't been in the last few weeks. I'm very disappointed. Hopefully we will be back in again soon. Patreon.com/IWGuide. All kinds of stuff over there. I think there's going to be more retro episodes going up next month. And don't forget about our merch store over at Brainbuster Tees. Podcast friends, At Odds with Wrestling, and the card is going to change. Our other friends, the official graphic designer of IW Guide, JCP Designs, did our wonderful graphics for us for the IW Guide title match. ProWrestlingPonderings.com, Time Capsule Toys, Toyhio, Rubber City Toys, Big Starks Brand, Set Tab Photo, AJ Small Photography, Michelle Carter, Jose Rodriguez Photography, Gorilla Press Apparel, Smoke and Jay's Barbecue, the best barbecue in Northeast Ohio and beyond. Medical advice, do not drink rubbing alcohol. It's not as good as normal alcohol.
That's why you're not drinking it. It doesn't taste good.
Yes.
Okay.
But will it get you fucked up more?
No.
You'll end up worse than Jeff did last night if you drink the rubbing alcohol.
Watch some indie wrestling.
Later.
Bye.
See ya.
Later, dweebs.